ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 4th chapter, text 44. Prita am te prajanata yat te shobdramanhanam shobdbrimhanam tapa mamangsa kama bhutanam yad bhuyasya vibhutiyaha kritoham te prajanata yad te shod brahmanantapa mamangsa kama bhutanam yad bhuyasya vibhutiyaha. Please chant. Pritaham te prajanata yate shod brahmanantapa maisa kama bhutana yad bhuyasya vibhutaya pritaham te prajanata yate shod brahmanantapa maisa kama bhutana yad bhuyasya vibhutaya. Ladies.
Pritaham te
prajanata yate shod brahmanam tapa mamaisa kama bhutana yad bhuyasya vibhutaya pritaham te prajanata yate shod brahmanam tapa mamaisa kama bhutana yad bhuyasya vibhutaya. Prita, very much pleased. Aham, I, te, with you, prajanata, O king of population, yet, because, te, your, asya, of this material world, udbrimhanam, causing increase, tapa, austerity, mama, my, esha, this, kama, desire, bhutanam, of the living entities, yat, which, bhuyasu, may there be, vibhutaya, advancement in all respects. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. My dear Prajapati Daksha, you have performed extreme austerities for the welfare and growth of the world. My desire also is that everyone within this world would be happy. I am therefore very pleased with you because you are endeavoring to fulfill my desire for the welfare of the entire world. Purport. After every dissolution of the material cosmos, all the living entities take shelter in the body of Karna Dakshai Vishnu. And when creation takes place again, they come forth from his body in their various species to resume their activities. Why does the creation take place in such a way that the living entities are put into conditioned life to suffer the threefold miseries imposed upon them by their material nature? Here the Lord says to Daksha, you desire to benefit all living entities, and that is also my desire. The living entities who come in contact with the material world are meant to be corrected. All the living entities within this material world have revolted against the service of the Lord, and therefore they remain within this material world as ever-conditioned Nitya Buddha, taking birth again and again. There is a chance, of course, of their being liberated, but nevertheless the conditioned souls, not taking advantage of this opportunity, continue in a life of sense enjoyment, and thus they are punished by birth and death again and again. This is the law of nature, as the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita 7:14, Daivyesha gunamayi mama maya dharatya mameviye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. This divine energy of mind consisting of the three modes of material nature is difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita 15:7, the Lord says, mamaya vangso jivaloke jiva bhuta sanatana manakshastani indriyani prakriti stani karshati. Living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. The living entity's struggle for existence within the material world is due to his rebellious nature. Unless a living entity surrenders to Krishna, he must continue this life of struggle. The Krishna consciousness movement is not a fad. It is a bona fide movement intended to promote the welfare of all conditioned souls by trying to elevate everyone to the platform of Krishna consciousness. If one does not come to this platform, he must continue in material existence perpetually, sometimes in the upper planets and sometimes in the lower planets. As confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 21:18, Kabu Swaga Yutai, Kabu Narake Dubai. The conditioned soul sometimes descends into nescience and sometimes gets some relief by being relatively freed from it. This is the real life of the conditioned soul. Prajapati Daksha is trying to benefit the conditioned souls by beginning them to give them a life with a chance for liberation. Liberation means surrender to Krishna. If one begets children with the purpose of training them to surrender to Krishna, fatherhood is very good. Similarly, when the spiritual master trains the conditioned souls to become Krishna conscious, his position is successful. If one gives the conditioned souls a chance to become Krishna conscious, all his activities are approved by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is extremely pleased, as stated here, Pritoham. Following the example of the previous acharyas, all the members of the Krishna consciousness movement should try to benefit the conditioned souls by inducing them to become Krishna conscious and giving them all facilities to do so. Such activities constitute real welfare work. By such activities, a preacher or anyone who endeavors to spread Krishna consciousness is recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As the Lord Himself confirms in Bhagavad Gita 1868-69, Yaidam paramam guyam mad bhakteshva vidashyati bhaktim mayi param kritva mamivaishyatya sangshaya. Nachas tasma manusheshu kaschin me priyakritama bhavitta nacha me tasma nanyak priyataro bhuvi. For one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, devotional service is guaranteed. And at the end, he will come back to me. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. Translation again. My dear Prajapati Daksha, you have performed extreme austerities for the welfare and growth of the world. My desire also is that everyone within this world to be happy. I am therefore very pleased with you because you are endeavoring to fulfill my desire for the welfare of the entire world. Om Agyana Timurandasyaya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Mlitam Yena Tasmai Shri Garvay Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pankum Langkai De Gurim Yat Kripata Maham Bande Shri Gurum Dinatarnam. This verse and purport, very nice. Clearly explaining the nature of the welfare work for the material world, for the entire world, for all worlds, all universes, for all time and all circumstances, the definition of auspicious. Sometimes we see that welfare work is misunderstood to be, as Srila Prabhupada sometimes described, digging wells, opening hospitals, like that. But this is not actual welfare work. He gave certain instructions that no one within a certain area within the temple should go hungry. But beyond that, we don't see that these temples were created for any other purpose besides giving the living entities the facility to come and surrender to Krishna. If they're not coming to surrender to Krishna, if we're extending welfare work to some artha, economic benefit, or some other material facility to give food or to give shelter, some shelter by means of some covering from rain or the elements, then this is not our welfare work. This is not the activity of the Krishna consciousness movement. Prabhupada said the only reason to construct a temple is to give facility for the living entity to come, nija britta pasham, to learn how to serve, to learn how to serve. Because we understand that without this service, without understanding learning how to serve, then one cannot learn also how to surrender. And the only reason one approaches a spiritual master is to learn how to surrender. Because this sum and substance, essence, sometimes we see people come to Krishna consciousness, they're coming for some perceived benefit, not for surrender, not to learn how to serve. They think, oh, this is such a nice facility. They have such nice rooms. I can live there very nicely. I'm sleeping in some third class situation, and my dress is not very nice, and my food stuff is not very nice, but these people look very happy. But they're mistaking. They think that our happiness is derived from our eating and sleeping arrangements, because they don't know anything. They think that happiness, based on their conception, is eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So if they're thinking that, oh, these people are eating and sleeping very nicely, then they may be attracted. But if they don't learn how to surrender, if they don't learn how to serve, then their coming, Srila Prabhupada said, is useless. He said, show bottle will not act. This was his instructions to us in Mayapur. So one may adopt the dress, but if he does not adopt the attitude, the surrender, the service, then he's far from devotional service. And he's only fooling himself. So this requires very much attention to one's activities in Krishna consciousness, his sadhana. Because in the beginning we have nothing but sadhana. We have two things actually. According to Bhaktivinoda Thakura, we have our mind and we have surrender. We have the mind and the body, manasa deha gaya. But of these two things, the only benefit is to surrender them. This is the exchange. So what can I give Krishna? He doesn't need anything. He's sovereign. He has all opulences. And what do we have? We're born with nothing, we die with nothing. And maybe I accumulate something. Maybe even I accumulate big, big buildings. But Krishna doesn't need big, big buildings. He has all that. So what does Krishna want from us? The only exchange rate is surrender. One time Prabhupada was giving a lecture in the old Henry Street Temple. And I was foolish enough to be standing close by. Because it says that one should not get too close to the spiritual master or Krishna. So I hadn't quite learned that lesson yet. And that lesson is, of course, to prevent familiarity. Prabhupada said familiarity breeds contempt. But I was standing a little close. And at one point in the lecture, Srila Prabhupada said that if one wants to pick up something good, first he has to put the dirty thing in his hand down And when he said that, he looked straight at me. And he made this motion. You have to let it go. You have to put it down. If you want to pick up something nice, you have to put down the dirty thing in your hand. So I realized that this is the opportunity. This is the point. I had nothing already, technically. Materially, maybe something. But he was only asking for surrender. So that's the rate of exchange, just like everyone's asking, what is the dollar rate today? Every businessman, even in Mayapur, says, oh, what is the dollar rate today? Oh, today it's 62 rupees. Oh, my dollar is worth so much today. Right? But what is this dollar? It cannot do anything for you in the ultimate sense. But every opportunity you have to surrender, that will give you the permanent benefit. So are we seeking that? Are we looking for that opportunity to surrender? To engage the living entities for their ultimate welfare? Are we looking for some selfish activities for ourselves? How can I increase my situation? How can I become more comfortable? This is the activities of the dogs and ogs. We're not concerned about these things. Krishna is giving everyone everything. He's giving the birds their quota. He's giving the dogs their quota. There's that Bengali saying, one should meditate like a crane. He should perform activities like a crow. And he should sleep like a dog. So meditate like a crane. You see in the fields, the crane, they want to get something. They stand absolutely still. You wonder, how is it possible that this bird can stand so still, not moving, and then strike? And he gets his prey. So his meditation, of course, is on some bug. Our meditation should be fixed on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but fixed like that. And the crows, they're very active. They get together, they do something, and then they act. So they're very busy in their activities. So one should engage himself like a crow. And sleeping, no one sleeps like a dog. You see the dogs here in Mayapur. They lie completely on the path. The elephants pass, the carts pass, the ratayacha cup, they don't move. Hundreds and thousands of people pass and they don't even move. But in an instant, he's awake and completely alert. That is what it's meant to sleep like a dog. Not to sleep soundly, but to be instantly alert on the moment of awakening. Instantly alert. So if one can sleep like that, then he has the perfection of sleep. That he sleeps nicely, but then in an instant, he's awake. So we learn so many things. We should learn mostly how Srila Prabhupada wanted us to act. And be very careful in how we utilize the resources of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, not to make some unnecessary activities just for superficial name or fame. That, oh, see, there's such a nice society, they're doing so much for the poor. Prabhupada was very, how can you say, adamant that such organizations like the UN were useless. Useless. But they're very famous for feeding the poor. And so what is there, feeding the poor? How has it accomplished anything for them? What has it done? So we should not fall into that trap and become something like United Nations. Prabhupada said, United Nations of the spiritual world. And there's that famous film of Jai Pataka Maharaj also. And the Hare Krishna people. And he's screaming in Bengali, United Nations of the spiritual world. So this is our real work. That we bring everyone together and we give them opportunity. How to achieve success in this life. Not by engaging in some mundane welfare work. So the Prajapatis wanted everyone to be happy, but we have to know what is that definition. Otherwise, if you think happiness means some comfortable material situation, then anyone can cheat you. Someone will come to you and say, oh, Prabhu, I have some nice situation for you. What he's not telling you, you have to read between the lines, what he's not telling you, you'll become completely entangled, you'll have to pay mortgage for 20 years, you'll have to endeavor so with so much hard work just to pay these bills. But superficially he's saying, oh, I have a comfortable place for you. So education means to know the philosophy. What does it mean? It is the same with anyone. If someone says, oh, Prabhu, I can get you a very nice wife, it is the same thing. We know what Srila Prabhupada said. King for a day, slave for life. With apologies to the Matajis. Huh? They know. You don't know. You're thinking, no, I'm the king. So that's real education Prabhupada gave us. So we have to see everything like that. Yeah, not that, you know, oh, I'm now Zamindar. I have so much land. Ishvara hama ham bogi siddha ham balavan sukhi. I am perfect, powerful, and happy. I have killed my enemies, so many, and I'll kill more tomorrow. Like this. They're even thinking, I will give so much in charity. The demons are thinking like this. So who are we to think, what is our charity? We cannot give charity like the demons. Our charity is, you please take this holy name and your life will be perfect. There's nothing, there's no higher welfare activity. So we should endeavor only to distribute books, build temples only as necessary. Prabhupada even told us in some of his final pastimes in New York, we had a big temple, very nice, beautiful. He wanted his samadhi to be on the top of that temple. This is how much he thought that this was the pinnacle of his activities. He had come to New York with nothing. And then he was sitting on this multi-million dollar skyscraper building with beautiful restaurant, theater, temple, everything was there. And he was giving darshan on the roof, and in the back you could see the Empire State Building. And Prabhupada said, I want my samadhi here, right here. So, unfortunately, he was not able to travel. In the end, we were waiting. We were fully expecting. He had come as far as London. And his intention was to die on the battlefield. So this is what we have to do. This is our determination. Just like Srila Prabhupada, we have to die on the battlefield. Not just some comfortable situation. You know, make some... There was a... When I was building Prabhupada Samadhi in Vrindavan, it was very... It took a long time. It's India. Nothing is a short time in India. Although foolishly, we were thinking, oh, we have so many material qualifications. I've done so much construction previously in New York. I mean, this is a very small situation. How much can it take? But then realizing that there's not a hardware store, a building supply store, this type of... You have to go hundreds of kilometers to get this material. Anyway, Krishna teaches us all very interesting lessons in life. But anyway, he was coming to New York, and he had to turn around and come back. But then we got his association while we were building his samadhi. So Krishna is very kind. He gives us just what we want, but we have to know what that want is. We have to be very careful. People always say, be careful what you wish for. So if you're wishing for some very comfortable situation, Krishna will give it. But Prabhupada very clearly told us, you will have to take another birth. So if that same salesperson comes to you and says, oh, Prabhu, here's this nice land. Come and live. But in the middle of the contract, you see, oh, but here it says, in small print, oh, but you'll have to, I will have to take another berth. So who will do that? Anything. When you go to buy a car, a nice car, a beautiful car, at the bottom of the contract says, yes, you're going to enjoy this car like anything, but you're going to take another berth. So no one will take, anyone will read it and say, no, of course not. Why would I do this? But every day everyone is doing. But he's not thinking. So the point I forgot to make was that when we went to Vrindavan, everyone wants to stay in Vrindavan or Mayapur. Who wants to leave the dham? We come, we stay for some time, we're thinking. But then what do we think? Oh, my visa. Oh, my visa. I have to get my letter. I have to get my sponsor. How can I stay? I have to have my service. So this becomes something of an issue. Of course, one has to have service. Why would the temple sponsor without service, some visa? But some people will do anything for this visa, almost. Even up to an including or excluding, you know, some very serious aspects of devotional service. They think I have to please the right people. This is some material consideration. I'm thinking selfishly, I will do anything to stay in the dham, even ignore something that may be very detrimental to Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON society. I may compromise my integrity just for the sake of having a comfortable situation in the dham. But what is that comfortable situation in the dham? That is the illusion. It is no longer the dham, not for that person. He just doesn't know it yet. So we have to be very careful about what is the dham? What does it mean to stay in the dham? What is service in the dham? Why am I in the dham? Why am I here? My godbrother told me one time, same thing, when I was 6 years into building the Prabhupada Samadhi, and it was, we could see some completion. We were finished, basically. Marble was done. Kalash was done. We had just put the Prabhupada's flag. Prabhupada's flag is very nicely made. The mysteries come from Varanasi. It's all copper, and then it's gold-plated. And it has a picture of Hanuman. Prabhupada's flag has Hanuman. It is not a chakra because he is a servant. And Hanuman was also Arjuna's flag. On the chariot, on his chariot, his pennant was Hanuman, his flag. So we have to have this idea that we're here. And what did he say to me? Okay, before I forget again, this is old age. He said, Vrindavan is not a place to live, it's a place to die. So if everyone here is committed to remaining in Mayapur and dying, then your living here has some value. But your living should be filled every second of every day, of every year with service. Because if it is not, then you have already taken another material body and you just don't know it. It is there waiting for you. So read the translation again. My dear Prajapati Daksha, you have performed extreme austerities for the welfare and growth of the world. My desire also is that everyone within this world be happy. I am therefore very pleased with you because you are endeavoring to fulfill my desire for the welfare of the entire world. So we'll take any questions or comments, criticisms. Prabhu has a question. His microphone here, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thanks, Prabhu. That line was fantastic. The purpose has to be to die in Vrindavan and in dhams. That has given us very solid understanding. Prabhu, the question is, or I'm scared if I'll be able to put it properly or not, but the idea is that You were talking about food distribution in Chelten and all those things. When, of course, detached from Krishna consciousness, these are all mundane activities, maybe just pious activities. We're not supposed to be concerned with them. But, of course, I'm sure this doesn't apply to the prasad distribution that is going on in the temple and is supposed to go on in a much, much more larger scale. As Srila Prabhupada said, no one should go hungry.
Within 10 miles.
Within 10 miles. So the only thing is, something strikes that food distribution or prasad distribution is paid and is free both. Of course, whether there are a few items which Krishna may not like, but they are being sold as prasadam, that's for sure. Lot many counters are there for paid prasadam distribution, but somewhere down the line it's found that there's only one free counter normally for free distribution. So the equation, I had an experience also, and I find people standing around 400, 300 people standing in a queue for one bowl of khichdi. Of course, it gives them good tapasya opportunity and there's more value for prasadam. But somewhere down the line, if something can be worked upon to have a better equation, where to some extent this could come closer to the paid prasadam counters. Hare Krishna.
Good idea. And you're volunteering also?
Yeah, I mean, as far as distribution is concerned, as long as I'm here, definitely I would like to volunteer.
On Saturday at 3 p.m., we're going on prasadam distribution in the neighboring villages.
Okay.
So you're welcome to join us.
The only thing is that I got committed to the 14th Chakda Dham, but in any case...
No problem. Anyone who wants to come...
There are so many Saturdays to come, so yes. Definitely I'll try to make it on few
so
of
this,
them. Thanks a lot.
This is correct. We should have clear prasadam distribution for free... Those who cannot afford. Those who can, they can buy. The coupon is very inexpensive. And those who cannot, you get for free. And they have that small queue outside of Govinda's restaurant for free distribution. And that's sponsored. Anyone who wants to can line up. And sometimes you see the line even goes around like this. So if you look from above, it looks like a chakra, like a conch swirls. There's, because the field is so small. And that is done on a daily basis. So that is nice. But outside it is not done so much. And we have to be careful. Prabhupada's consideration of prasadam distribution is cooked by devotees, like in Sulabh. Not that you pay some people to cook. That is not prasadam. If you're paying them to cook something and they're just commercial cooks, and then you take it and you put it on a plate and offer it. Prabhupada said prasadam means cooked by Brahmins, offered to Lord Krishna. This is prasadam. You know, there are many other considerations. We know that there are so many mass distribution facilities, but, you know, and that may be according to time and circumstances accepted for some particular preaching aspect. But one should understand what is prasadam, the definition of prasadam, like that. Any other questions, comments? Mataji?
I heard not long ago that some people complain because we distribute prasad, but not simply to the poor, but to everyone. And in that complaint, there was also written that actually those who think they have so much and they may not be hungry, they are the ones who need the most that, I don't know what, that prasad.
I mean, prasadam is an equal opportunity benediction. It doesn't distinguish between rich and poor. We used to have many, many rich people coming into the restaurant in Radha Govinda Mandir on 55th Street. And yes, some would say that they needed it more than someone who is poor. That may be. But those who are wealthy, they sometimes pay for those who are poor. They give excess amount. They would come and give big contributions. And if someone came who was less fortunate, they could get more. But even Srila Prabhupada, he made the restaurant in those days the fixed price. In New York City, in 1976, the prasadam was being sold for $1.99 for a full thali, all you could eat, all you could eat. This was, and so, and it was the right idea. Prabhupada was, the in marketing, there he had no equal. We know now, we can understand, but then also, so many people would come, rich and not so rich. But everyone would get prasadam, everyone would get an opportunity to take, see, we used to have Back to Godhead magazines, nicely bound. They could be read, people would sit and lounge on these very comfortable cushions and couches. And people would also sponsor boxes of small books. So when Sankar, when that person would, we would give the books free with the meals. So it was quite a benediction. Oh, another thing I forgot to say. When Prabhupada told us in 76, he said, no more temples, reading rooms and restaurants. That was his instruction to us. When he had achieved the pinnacle of success with 55th Street. No more temples, reading rooms and restaurants. He used to walk by this one place on morning walk, Central Park South. There's one Christian Science reading room. This is the most prestigious address in Manhattan, Central Park South. Only the richest people live there. The Kennedys, the Kissingers, the Rockefellers, they live there. And this Christian Science reading room was a beautifully appointed reading room with these beautiful wooden mahogany bookshelves, row after row after row, and very big comfortable chairs. And whenever you went by, there were these gentlemen sitting in these chairs. And Prabhupada said, we want this. He said, we want this. This was his reading room conception. So Prabhupada was not shy to take a good idea from the Christian Science reading room. It's very famous. Very interesting. No more temples, reading rooms, and restaurants. Because that will attract gentlemen. He didn't need ashrams with hundreds and hundreds or thousands of people who were, as he said, coming simply for eating and sleeping. This is not our Krishna conscious movement. We want to attract those who are coming to fully surrender and take up this mission, 100%, in the same mood as Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, otherwise their coming is useless. Any other questions, comments? Yes, Prabhu.
This question is about when you were telling about buying a land or a car when the
having a contract that says contract. You have to take another birth.
Yeah, I was just wondering how, because being a family man, I need to provide necessities for my family and stuff. How would you not overdo it and not use Yukta Vairagya as an excuse for your sense gratification?
That's a good question. You have to take shelter of someone who can give you that understanding. Without the spiritual master, there's no exchange, there's no service. Without service, there's no surrender. Without surrender, there's no realization, no advancement. You cannot achieve the ultimate goal of life. So Yukta Vairagya is only there if one is engaged in service. I have some particular talent. I'm a CPA, so you come and serve in the accounts department. And you make sure that everything is paka. Huh? Yes, you maintain. Small house, not 7 stories. I will make 6 crore, 7 crore, 30 crore. No, I live. I only need for myself. One complicates things immeasurably when he calculates for material benefit. He just doesn't know. What he should be saying is 1 crore births, 2 crore births, 3 crore births, 4 crore births. Then he'll get some idea. 5 crore births, 6 crore births, go on. He can go on unlimitedly. But they're not, they haven't heard properly. If you read Srila Prabhupada's books, you cannot make a mistake like this. It's not possible. Otherwise, from the very beginning, we would have seen Srila Prabhupada's disciples simply making money. No one had that conception. Ask anyone, did any Prabhupada disciple have this conception that I should become grahastha? Prabhupada said, if you become grahastha, you have to have engaged in more devotion, you have to do more and engage in more service. Not that I think that now I have a comfortable situation, I will work 9 to 5, I will go home, I will relax, I'll watch TV. No. He said you have to have more service. You have to do more. Why? Because now I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry about washing my own kapara. I mean, that's not the main thing, but yes, okay. I don't have to worry about cooking my own meals or walking to the brahmacharya kitchen. Or it's not really. He still said you have to do more. Grahastha ashram is not some facility for sense gratification. It is how to surrender more and more to the spiritual master. And here, to raise good children who will become Krishna conscious. And if you cannot do that, then forget it. Any other questions, comments? We have 2-3 minutes. 3 minutes on the clock.
Thank you for this amazing, important class. I thought that's such an important class that actually, especially for the Mayapur residents, maybe you could do an Ishta Goshti with all of us, because still so many are missing, which that they can hear these very important messages too. Hare Krishna.
Ishta Goshti should be held regularly. Is it not held regularly in Mayapur? Anybody can suggest and ask. Does everybody know that Hriday Chaitanya and Pragosh Prabhu's, our co-directors, are here for 5? Well, actually, Hriday Chaitanya leaves at the end of the month. Pragosh is here for 5 more weeks. So anyone can request. Now meetings are over, he's technically free. Not that I'm suggesting that everyone beat down his door. But he's more than happy. I think he would probably relish the idea of having Ishta Goshti with all the devotees. And Hriday Chaitanya is here till the end of the month. I think 29th, but someone can confirm. And you know, Hriday Chaitanya is very successful. President of Radhadesh, one of our most successful projects in ISKCON. He is one of the longest serving temple presidents, 25 years continuously. And he's a grahastha. So he has done what Srila Prabhupada asked. He has done more. He's done more. This is the key to success. Not to be thinking, oh, how can I stay? It is not a question of staying in Mayapur. Service is wherever you can surrender. The karmis say home is where the whatever heart is, or there's so many sentimental things. But we're also like that. Home is where I can surrender. I don't go to a temple simply for some eye exercise. Oh, the deities are so beautiful. No, I go because there is some service there. What can I do? Not that I come and travel and make pilgrimage. Yes, we do. Prabhupada used to tell us, you go, you make pilgrimage 3 days, and then you go and you report to the temple commander, even in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time. In our time, when we would travel from the west and come to the temples, we had 3 days, few days. You go, you do your Vrindavan, Mayapur, Parikrama, you go pay your respects to, you know, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Sarup Ganj, you go to Yoga Pit. But how many places are you going to go? After 3 days, you're supposed to go to the temple commander and say, I'm here, what service do you need me to do? And we did that. That was our training. What did I do? So this is how the new bhaktas, anyone coming to Krishna, they all have to be trained like this. Service attitude, nija britta pasham. How to become an apprentice. How to learn how to serve. This is the only reason for the temple. And our time is up. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Sri Mayapur Dham. Jai Prabhupada. No. This is. But they didn't. Prabhupada doesn't like that. No. Thank you. Jai Prabhupada. Haribol.